So with that, let's go to our scripture reading for today, which we can find, oh my goodness, we're going all the way back to the Old Testament. We are going to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 18 through 21, but before I start reading this, let me just set the stage for you. 3 months earlier, the Israelites exited Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They were now over on the other side of the Red Sea. They were at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses just came down from Mount Sinai. He was just given, in verses 1 through 17, the Ten Commandments. So now you kind of have a picture in your mind where we are at. Moses just received the Ten Commandments from the Lord. And we move into verse number 18 through 21. That's what I'm about to read. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Again, I read out of an NASB translation Bible. I will have the words up here on the screen. Verse 18. All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." For the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray over this message here this morning. I pray, Lord, that truths will be revealed. I pray, Lord, that hearts can be changed however hearts need to be changed. As always, you get the glory for any transformation that happens within our lives. We give you that praise. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. I have titled today's message, Passing the Test. And I'll just be honest with you here this morning. I'm going to get a little emotional today as I go through this message. So you have been warned. This morning I'm going to offer my answer, maybe my opinion, to this question. What is God up to with what's happening in the world and specifically in America in 2020? This past year, 2020. So what is God up to? And I'm going to attempt to give my best answer to this here this morning. What do we know about God? We only know what God has decided to reveal to us through his word. So what is one thing that has been revealed? There's many things. I'm just going to pick this one out from Isaiah 46 verses 8 through 10 because I think it's very relevant to the answer that I'm about to give. The Lord is speaking to the people through the prophet Isaiah, and he says this, "Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." And we always know to look for the words that are in bold and in underline. My purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure. I can assure you this, my friends, that God has a purpose, and that purpose will be established, and that purpose will occur. This year, this past year, 2020, and all the bizarre things that have occurred that we never thought would happen, specifically here in America, I assure you, did not take God by surprise. It is all part of his plan and his purpose, and he allows it for his pleasure. But what is that plan? And what is that purpose? This is what I'm going to attempt to answer this morning. First, I'm going to backtrack here a little bit. How did I decide what scripture I was going to use here this morning for this Sunday? Answer. How I decided what scripture that I was going to use for today, I would never, ever, ever recommend any pastor ever using this process because it really goes against all rules of preaching. But here's what I did, because I need to tell you how I come about this text. This year is 2020. There are 17 books in the Bible that have a chapter 20, verse 20. Could any of those chapter 20, verse 20s relate in any possible way to everything that we have experienced here in this year, 2020? And I believe the answer to that is yes. And this morning, I'm going to tie in Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, with the plan and the purpose of a sovereign God for this past year, 2020. I know it sounds kind of silly, and it is. But I figured out how to do it. I did. What is verse 20, Exodus 20, verse 20? It has it up here on the screen. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." If we go back to this time, the Israelites had just crossed the Red Sea 3 months earlier. The Israelites were now being tested. They were being tested if they fear the Lord. And they were tested on their desire not to sin. So how am I going to relate this verse to the events of 2020, specifically here in America today? I think I already see the wheels turning, and I think some of you, and probably most of you, have already connected the dots and figured out where I'm going with this. I am convinced, church, that this year, 2020, has been a test for the church. Does the church fear the Lord? Does the church have a desire not to sin? And how has this crazy year of 2020 made an impact on these two spiritual issues within the church itself? Has the church passed the test? My answer, no. The church has not passed the test. As a matter of fact, I think the church has failed, and the church has failed miserably. Allow me to qualify my response. When I use the word church, I am talking about those men and women who either attend a church and or claim to be Christians. Let's look at the stats. I got this from Wikipedia. Christianity in America. Adults were polled. Teenagers and youngsters were not polled. This is just adults that were polled. I don't know how many people were a part of this poll or where they did this poll. But this came off of Wikipedia. Last year, 2019, 65% of Americans said, "I am a Christian." You can see the numbers throughout the years. And if we go back 30 years, that number was as high as 85%. But let's just take last year's number. 65% of the people in America said they are Christians. Personally, I think 60% of them are not telling the truth or don't understand what true Christianity really is. But 65% of them say that they are Christians. So remember that number? I'm going to get back to it here in a little bit. At the beginning of this COVID pandemic that occurred and really started kind of somewhere in March here in 2020, I was asked way back then, 9 months ago, what I thought God was up to with this COVID-19 virus. And I still remember my response. In my response, I said this: God is pruning his church. He's pruning his church. You see, 65%, I'm convinced that there are a lot of dead branches thinking that they are clinging to the vine when they are not clinging to the vine, when in fact they are dead. Let's go to John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I believe I have verses 4 and 6 of this, pretty much the same passage from John 15, on the front of your bulletin. This is the words of Jesus. This is right after the Last Supper, before he went into the garden and was arrested. He's talking to the disciples, and he says this in verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. I think we all understand the principle of pruning. If you have bushes outside of your house like I do, every year or every so often I go on out and I get my bushes that should look really nice and they'll have some dead branches on them. So what do we do with the dead branches in our bushes? We do what? We cut them out, because they make the bush not look very good and take away the health of the bush. And then what do we do with the remaining bushes? We kind of cut them back so the bush is nicely formed and looks real nice. And later on in that season, the good branches start blooming up and they really start becoming and looking really, really nice. And then next year you do the same thing, and the year after you do the same thing. And before you know it, when in this pruning process, you have bushes in your yard that really, really look good, because the dead has been cut off and taken away, either taken to the landfill or burnt or done something with. But the ones that are there, you cut back so it can grow and be even healthier. We all understand the pruning process. Actually, I have the Webster definition of pruning on the inside of your bulletin, top right-hand corner, if you want to see that. But since this pandemic began back in March, many churches are conducting in-house services with restrictions like us. We wear masks, we social distance the best that we can. We're doing this right. And I understand the opposite of that. Many people are fearful to attend and they stay home. My wife has not been here since March. She is fearful of this. And I understand the concern of people who do not want to show up on a Sunday morning. I understand that. However, most, if not all, of these same churches, they are offering online services of some sort. Either they are live streaming their services, or like we do here, we offer a YouTube video later on in the day of our service, and that I'll put that up on YouTube, which you can view and listen to the audio of that along with the PowerPoint presentations. But something is offered by these churches. If not, if you don't want to come in-house, you have the opportunity to stay home and do something there. So with that in mind, what has been the attitude of American church people since this pandemic has begun? Let me ask it a different way. What has happened to the stay-at-home church video viewing audience? Excuse me. That viewing audience of those available services that those churches are providing has dwindled since the pandemic began back in March. Let's look at just what has happened to the Beech Grove Church YouTube video viewing audience. I'm going to put two charts up here. The first one is this. Our church was closed 8 Sundays between March the 22nd and May the 10th. The number that you see is the number of views of people who watched the message, the sermon for that particular Sunday. The first Sunday, everyone's excited. This is new. I can stay at home and keep my jammies on and watch the video for a church service. And there's nothing wrong with watching a church service with your jammies and your cup of coffee. 120 people watched the first service. Now, you got to remember, these are not just Beech Grove people. There's a lot of other people who subscribe to our Beech Grove Church YouTube channel, so people outside the church also watch the videos that we put up, just like we watch videos of maybe other churches. You can see how the numbers kind of tapered off. On 4/12, that was Easter Sunday, went up to 74, and it kind of leveled off on May the 10th down to 52. Now, these are the numbers for the 8 weeks that we were off. We went back to having in-house services on May the 17th. So I'm going to put another chart up here. This chart is, this chart represents the people who were viewing the Beech Grove Church sermons since we have opened our church for in-house services. Our first Sunday was May the 17th. We had 37 people watch the sermon. And I just picked random weeks, I think the first week of every month. June went up to 49. You can see July 27. August up to 74 people. I don't know what I preached on that week, but I guess it was pretty good. September 20, October 20, November 17, and 2 weeks ago, 9. Nine people. This number, this decline, does not surprise me at all. Because this is how church people, who say they're part of the 65%, who really are not part of the 65%, act. And it's not just Beech Grove Church people. It's not just our YouTube channel. It's everybody's church's numbers. The numbers go down. They dwindle. So let's do a recap of what's happened here in 2020. Because of a pandemic, COVID-19, the routine of in-person church has now been limited. But the church offers a reliable secondary option, either a live feed video of their church service or a YouTube video like we do here. But some form of a church service was still offered to all the people of the congregation, and especially to those who were not able to attend. We have been offering it every Sunday. Granted, watching it at home in your jammies with your cup of coffee is not like the real thing of being here at church, and I understand that. But under the present pandemic circumstances, it does make for a viable substitute solution. If that's all you have, then that's what I will go with. But what happens? And what has happened? Those who are on the fringe, they're going to fall away. Because that's just what a lot of the 65% do. Will any of these people come back? I believe here at Beech Grove Church, I believe most of our people, if not all of our people, will come back. But I don't believe most of the people in other churches are going to come back. And I say that probably very few of them are going to come back. Why not? Let me get back to my point and try to answer the question. From man's point of view, I think it's because these people were never connected in the first place. And they have found much better things to do on Sunday mornings than watch a service on TV, because it infringes on their Sunday morning time, which they have now found time to do something else. But these people will say that they are part of the 65% of the American Christians Well, if they were, those numbers would remain the same, or pretty close to it. But let's look at it from God's point of view. I believe from God's point of view, it's because God is pruning his church, and the dead branches are being cut off, and they're going to be cast into the fire. Just my thoughts. Folks, I assure you, this COVID-19 pandemic, it will end. It is going to end at some point in time. But I assure you, the pruning that God is doing is not going to stop, and it's not going to end when COVID-19 ends. I'm convinced that God, at this present time, in this year, 2020, is judging his church, and he is judging the United States of America. He is turning this country over to its own depravity. Romans 1, verse 24, 26, and 28. And God turned them over. I believe God's had it up to here. He's saying, enough is enough. You just go ahead and do whatever you want. I'm out of here. Because we have asked him as a country and as a church to be out of here. And severe religious persecution, I believe, is just around the corner. And it's going to come from liberal leaders who are convinced that Christianity is a threat to their agenda of power and control. And what better way for God to prune his church than to allow these evil and wicked forces to execute persecution on a fallen and weak and impotent church, because that's what church has become. And don't think for one second that God will not use evil to accomplish his purpose. If we look at the Old Testament, he used Assyria to execute exile on the nation of Israel. He used the nation of Babylon to exile Judah, the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. And there were 10 brothers who threw one brother, Joseph, into a pit and sold him away into slavery. And many years later, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, they're all back together again. And Joseph says this to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." Don't think God won't use evil to accomplish his plan and his purpose. Again, I'm convinced that the problem in America today began when the church started failing to be the church. I spend many hours, trust me, many hours a week watching discernment ministries on YouTube. And my three favorite people to watch are Chris Roseboro, Fighting for the Faith, Justin Peters Ministries, and Stephen Kozar, who runs a YouTube channel called The Messed Up Church. And when you watch the videos, you'll see exactly how messed up the church is. But these three people put up there things that are going on in churches, quote unquote churches today. I ask you, write these down and take some time and watch some of these videos that these people bring to mind. And all the ungodly actions that are going on in churches today, all in the name of God. The idolatry of worshiping prosperity and material possessions. Graven images in the form of popularity preachers. And yes, there are popularity preachers. People who claim they have visions and prophecies spoken in the name of God that never come to pass and will openly admit, well, only about 30% of our prophecies ever come true. If they were in the Old Testament, they'd be taken out back and they would have been stoned to death. They never preach on the biblical roles of men and women in the church and in the home because they would rather be politically correct. They support and they condone the killing of unborn, innocent babies for the sake of choice, and they twist the word of God to defend that position. And they steal money from desperate people who want that desperate miracle that the TV preacher tells them, you'll get this miracle if you will just sow your seed money into my ministry. The unfaithful interpretation, in other words, the eisegesis, not the exegesis, the eisegesis, which is telling lies to twist and distort the word of God to fit their brand of theology, which is actually not theology at all. And then promising people, in case you haven't noticed, I am going through the Ten Commandments, and promising people they can have all that their carnal minds covet. Again, if they just send your seed money in, come on, the basket's up front. Sow it into my ministry here so I can buy my jet and my big home. And can we seriously think, people, for one minute that God is pleased with these people and these actions, and they claim to represent Him and claim to be church? I don't think so. All those things that I just went through, what I just described to you folks, is not church. That is paganism disguising itself as a church. And all the itching ears flock to places like this because they no longer desire sound doctrine. Well, newsflash, Beech Grove. Sound doctrine is truth. And truth will, one, hold a person accountable, and two, truth will divide both the words of Jesus. And truth is exactly what these people with itching ears do not want to hear. They will say things like this, well, don't hold me accountable. Please don't hold me accountable. Why? Because I love my sin. Or they'll say something like this, don't preach doctrine, don't preach sound theology, because that will divide us. Can't we all just be unified in Jesus and just love one another and hug and sit around a campfire and sing Kumbaya? Beech Grove, I'm going to say this. Do you think for one minute that I want to team up with the Episcopal Church down the road that is led by a lesbian pastor? Don't think so. Do you think that I want Beech Grove Christian Church to partner and be one, be in unity with churches like the United Church of Christ or the Disciples of Christ or these other churches that support same-sex marriage and homosexual relationships? Not me and not us. And this position we not only must take, this position we will take. And it is a position, if we take this position, I promise you, it's a position that is no longer popular with not only the world, but is no longer popular with most of the other churches out there. But I promise you this, we will take the biblical position. Because that's what we do. But Mike, didn't you just tell us last week that love never fails? Folks, there is nothing more loving than the truth. And please, do not confuse love with the acceptance and the condoning of anything and everything, because they're not the same. What does Charles Spurgeon say about this, the great 19th century preacher? He said this, to pursue unity at the expense of truth is treason to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, brother. So let me just say this right now to everyone in here and anyone who might be listening to this message. If you don't like sound doctrine, go somewhere else. Okay? Because I'm not here to tickle anybody's ears. And I'm not here to be non-offensive. And I'm not here to be politically correct. And I'm not here to please your fancies. I am here to do one thing, and that's preach the word of God and to please him, because he is the one who put me here. If you desire to grow in the knowledge and in the wisdom of God's word, you're at the right place. You're at the right place. But listen, I don't persuade people to come here to Beech Grove Church, nor am I going to beg people on bended knee to stay at Beech Grove Church. Folks, the church today in 2020 is being tested just like God tested the Israelites back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. So let's ask those three questions one more time. Does the church fear the Lord? Well, other churches may not, and I don't care what other churches are doing, but we will here at Beech Grove Church recognize the absolute holiness of God and to have the proper reverence for him. Question number two, does the church have a desire not to sin? Well, other churches may not have a desire not to sin, but we're going to call sin for what it is. Because Isaiah chapter 5 says this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I'm not going to fall into the category of somebody who God is shaking his finger at and saying, "Woe to you, Pastor Mike, because you have done this." Not me. Ain't happening here, folks. Not going to happen here. This shepherd will continue to protect this flock no matter how big or how small it is, regardless of evil and where that source comes from. And the third question, is the church passing the test? Well, again, I believe other churches are failing miserably, but here at Beech Grove Church, I assure you, we will pass the test. And I hope that each and every one of you wants to be a part of that. We at Beech Grove Christian Church, going into 2021 next year, we will continue down a path of righteousness. And we're going to seek to become holy. And we're going to seek to become set apart. And we're going to seek to become different from the rest of the world and different from the rest of these other churches. Because that is what the church, the true body of believers, and those called by God, that is what we do. Amen? Amen. Are you afraid of COVID-19? And are you afraid of the condition in America? Please, don't be. Don't be. God will take care of those who are truly his own. He says he'll take care of the sparrows. He will take care of us. But I want to make sure that we who sit in here are part of his own, and that we focus on sound doctrine. So I'm just going to ask one simple question. Where do you stand with truth? I'm going to put a line up here that I believe I've heard several times before. The truth isn't always easy, but it does matter, and it will set you free. Next week, we're going to begin the new year of 2021 by going back to our expository study in the book of Galatians. Let's end with a word of prayer.